Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schulteis.
You know, I don't even really want to start the show. I want to listen to this song. Hello, you're listening to live to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and joined always by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach,
I'm still boogieing back here, Joe. I'm tapping the fingers. I got the beat going. I'm telling you, that was a great lead-in, buddy. Welcome to Friday, the week before Hoosier Hysteria starts. Pretty awesome.
Yep. Oh, you know what? This time of year, it's always a great time of year, but I'm always mad because they took away my favorite holiday, the Southridge sectional. I mean, other than Christmas, that was my holiday. And I want the Jeeps, I want the Rangers, I want the Raiders, you know, and, you know, all cheering against Jasper, but I don't get to see it anymore. Maybe we need to start the Coach K and Joe Show Classic at Christmas and have all four of those together.
Well, you know, Joe, for our listeners outside of the Indiana area, we're talking about the boys' sectional tournament, which gets started next week, and it is now a multi-class event. But at one time, it was a one-class system where all the schools competed against each other on the same level. You win, you're in. You lose, you're out. And because of the geography of the small towns and the communities and the schools, the sectionals were just bitter rivalries at times. Now, nobody got hurt, but when you went into that gym, Southridge Memorial Gymnasium in Huntingburg, Indiana, seats about 6,200 people, which is bigger than the town itself. It was one heck of an event. From the smell of the popcorn when you walked in, to people begging for a ticket to get a seat, to young boys and girls being hidden inside big trench coats to get inside the gym, and for those afternoons early on, and then just the evenings during the week and the weekend, it was a bitter war. And by the end of the week, most of the county, or most of the teams, were against Jasper if they were still alive. And it made it a lot of fun. I mean, it was basketball at its best. And then since there was a lot of manufacturing done in Dubois County and the surrounding area, the week before and the week following, there was a lot of chit-chat and chatter and people arguing back and forth at work about it. So it was a lot of fun, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I'm probably partial to the 81 year when you were part of the team and I was in the stands. And I'll tell you what, I know I'm bragging, but the 1981 senior boys had to have had the best school spirit of any grade ever to go through Jasper. How many people could organize their own banquet for the basketball team, put a full-page ad in the paper wishing the team good luck? I mean, you know, slept out out across the street from the high school the night before and had a big hall grossed. And then also ingenious cheers like, I mean, you know, May is the way. And, you know, my all-time favorite, I think Luke Holes and Dave Kemker thought about it after a government class one day. We've got a commonwealth. There's no doubt about it. And if you can't hear us, I guess we'll coup d'etat. I mean, you know, classic.
How about the Go Mouse, the frozen mouse?
Yeah.
The dead mouse that was frozen that would be thrown up occasionally as if it was the go ball, and then people would yell, go, go, as the ball bounced. Well, they substituted a frozen mouse for it and would throw it up. Sorry for you animal lovers and rodent lovers out there. The mouse was already dead. Would throw it up, and obviously it didn't bounce. But it was a lot of fun at that time, and the group was called the Army, and they dressed to the hilt. We had some pretty good groups in the 90s when I came back. The student body was outstanding, and they had some pretty good groups in the 70s. But if you're talking about a group of students that went all out, and you said it, a banquet for the team, a full-page ad, organizing trips to every game, how you came in and what you did when you got there. 81 was pretty special. It's a pretty special time.
Yeah, and you know, Jasper basketball fans, just a little plug here for myself. About on Saturday, I'll be releasing the new Jasper Today, and it's got a lot of focus on Jasper basketball and the history of the sectional. I invite all of you to look at it. If for nothing else, Ed Schulteis did an interview about the 1975 sectional championship, and if for any other reason, that would be the reason to go and take a look at it, even though there's a lot of special things involved with this issue.
It's going to be a great issue, and I know you're going to get a lot of looks and a lot of feedback, and we encourage people. Give them that website again, Joe.
www.jaspertodayonline.com. It should be on tomorrow afternoon, up live. Be patient with me. It is Gammon and Jasper weekend, and Reese will be playing for Jasper, as well as Scott Schulteis will be there for the Evansville Memorial Tigers.
Yeah, we'll be up in Jasper hanging out and hopefully run into some of our listeners and talk a little bit about the show. If you are listening and want to send in a comment, you can do that. You can go to Facebook page, Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook, or you can tweet us at Coach K and Joe. And I think you can also text, if I'm not mistaken, Joe, is there a text number they can text a comment to?
812-630-2449. And, Kenny, talking about that interview, you know, we were at the Cabby O'Neill gym, and just such an unbelievable place. And I'm so happy people like Rick Begley and such stepped up and saved it, because I just read an article in the Indianapolis Star about the Anderson Wigwam. Did you read that?
Yeah, in fact, I think I put that either on our Twitter site, the video of it, or on our Facebook, one of the two.
Yeah.
It was a great article on the Wigwam, and it had video that went with it. It was a good story by Kyle Nedenreep.
Yeah, and, palaces like that that are just going into irrepair are just kind of are sad. I mean, you know, Ron Flick's a big historian and Jasper historian, and he has just even sat me down and showed me picture after picture of different things that we've torn down for parking lots and et cetera. And I really would love to be able to save things like the Wigwam. But then also I read there's, what, $350,000 a year in utilities? Wow.
Well, of course, there's a cost to any facility like that. And the Wigwam, for people that don't know, our listeners outside of Indiana that maybe don't know, Anderson, Indiana, which is north of Indianapolis, had the second largest high school basketball gym in the world. Not in Indiana, although it is the second largest in Indiana, because the largest is Chrysler Arena in Newcastle in the world. And Anderson, I think it was built in the early 60s, and Anderson just had a great tradition, Anderson High School. A former Jasper coach and a very good friend of mine, Ron Heklinski, coached at Anderson for about 15-plus years. And we'll have him on the show sometime, Joe, and he can talk a little bit about the Wigwam. I know he was devastated when he found out they were no longer going to use the Wigwam, and that was part of the reason that he left the Anderson coaching job. I think it was also a time in his life when he was ready to get out for a little bit. But maybe we'll get Ron on, and he can talk a little bit about it. That's a great history up there. Of course, the two largest high schools, probably more than two of the largest. We'd have to pull the stats, but some of the largest high school gyms in the world, not in the state of Indiana, but in the world, exist here in the state of Indiana, with one being at Newcastle, where the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame is, and also the Wigwam, which is no longer in use. There's a great gym over in Vincennes, Adams Coliseum. I was there last weekend.
Yep.
I'm very happy to report that a group in the Vincennes area has gotten together, and they're going to help give that an update and kind of give it a restoration, much as the Cabby O'Neill gym was given. These are great gyms. These are gyms that not only have a great history to them with the events that were held there and their cherished memories, but they're great architecture. They were built at a time when things were built to last, and they were built by hand, and machines were used, yes, but a lot of handwork was done because they didn't have the advances that they have today. So we're excited to say that Adams Coliseum over in Vincennes is also going to get an update or a remake. So it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat that people are are taking note of some of this stuff and going to keep it around for generations to learn about, understand, and maybe even get a play-in again. I know my son's team was over for a grade school hoops tournament, and they loved Adams Coliseum in Vincennes. They were hoping to get to play another game there, Joe. So this stuff is neat, and people enjoy it.
Yeah, we played a game there, the middle Jasper Middle School. Reese got to play there, too, and it's neat playing in those old places. And I know even when the kids, you know, the kids in Reese's grade never saw the olden days at the Cabby. And even before it was used as a high school gym, anytime those kids got to go in there and practice or play a game, they were just thrilled because they just loved it. But, you know, I know we're going to talk IU hoops later, but the best part of this week has been for me, and you know how I feel about Michigan State, so I was happy with that. And also as happy as Purdue has not lost a game this week yet.
Well, I'm sure they haven't played.
Yeah, we got to buy until the weekend, but, you know.
Hey, Don Schulteis, our Indy correspondent, will be on with us later for the rant to talk about Hoosier Hysteria High School sectionals. Just texted me, and he said, Indiana has 8 of the top 10 high school gyms in the world. 8 of the 10. So, folks, get out there and fill those gyms up. And if you're not from Indiana and you're listening, if you get a chance to come through the state, go ahead and Google those top gyms and make it a point to drive into Anderson, Newcastle, and the different communities and see some of these gymnasiums. Come into southern Indiana and go to Jasper.
Go to Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland. Go to a small town called Canelton over by City. They've got a great gym that literally at one time the police department or fire department was underneath the gymnasium.
Yep.
And I think
the gym
is still used today. So there's a lot of great history.
Let's not forget the Birdcage.
Oh, the Birdcage at Washington Catholic.
You started your career.
I was there, and the cage is still used, and it doesn't have the home court advantage, at least wind-wise right now, but it did at one time, especially when we shut the doors, turned the heat on high, and sprayed the cotton nets down so the bigger school coming into play us couldn't get the ball out of the net quick enough and run us out of the gym. It always ended up in our favor. Did I do that? Oh, I don't remember if I did or not. Hey, Joe, we'll get back to high school hoops. Before we go to break here in a few minutes, I want to jump on a couple other things. First of all, NBA, the trade deadline came and went, and there were no major deals made. For Celtics fans, they're pretty happy. Garnett didn't go anywhere. They did pick up, I believe, Crawford, a shooter for him, to try to help them in their run in the playoffs, but they're not. Joe, they're not going to win anything. Even if Kurt Gooksell disagrees with us later, the Celtics, they don't have what it takes to win another NBA championship right now.
Yeah, I don't follow it that close. Other than the Pacers, I do follow the Pacers. And, they're looking good. I predicted they're gonna put LeBron and his buddies down this year in the playoffs.
I think the Pacers have a great shot to play with anybody, but they didn't do anything at the deadline.
Yeah.
And some people thought they might go out and find another offensive player to bring in, somebody who could get them some more points. And they play great defense, and they play hard. And the Indianapolis people need to get out and support those Pacers. I know the crowds have been down, but you're talking about a team that before Larry Bird left, he really did do his homework, and that organization put together a pretty solid foundation for a good team, and they're ready to win this year. So I think some Pacer fans that really follow him closely were hoping they'd add somebody offensively. The Lakers, of course, are holding on to Dwight Howard. Some people thought he might go to Brooklyn. Others thought maybe to Dallas. I think whoever would have got him would have been bad for him. I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan. Hey, Dwight, nothing against you, but I don't think that you understand that basketball, even on the pro level, is a team game. And you have to go out there and make your team better. Not once every 6 or 7 games, but you got to try to do it every single night. And whether you like Kobe Bryant or not, he goes out and he gives it for his team every single night. J.J. Redick, a guy great shooter, outstanding shooter. A lot of teams talked about maybe picking up Redick. A lot of fans looked for him to go to their team, but he ends up going to the Bucks to try to solidify some type of playoff run for them. Again, I'm not sure if they have enough. And last on the NBA trade info, they talked about it a lot this morning on different talk shows. The Bulls, Chicago Bulls, did nothing. And Derrick Rose's brother, who is also his agent, came out and ripped the Bulls organization and said, hey, you're not doing enough to help Derrick and this team. This team has to have more. You know what? If Derrick wants to talk about it, fine. Derrick's brother, keep your mouth shut. And, you know, if this gets back to Derrick's brother and he wants to come on the show and debate Joe or me, that's fine. But he doesn't need to be talking smack on anybody. Let Derrick Rose talk if he needs to talk. But the Bulls still have a solid team. But I think the Pacers right now are the team that looks like they could come out of the East in the Eastern Finals and have a shot at the Heat.
Well, you know, I don't know if it was mentioned for trade rumors now, but they talked about it last summer, getting Eric Gordon into the Pacers. And, you know, I hate you always talk being positive about anything IU, you know, but I keep finding myself doing that lately. I'd like for Eric Gordon to be on the Pacers.
Well, I think a lot of people would. And, I was listening to Dan Dockage's show yesterday, and Dan was out at the NFL Combine, which I thought we were going to be, Joe. You didn't get that set up. And Dan was talking in between him watching all the females walking by, brought up with one of his guests about Eric Gordon coming back to the Pacers. But it just didn't happen. At least it didn't happen right now. I think he would definitely add some offense. He would add some I think fans in Indiana would get excited. But you know what's so important, Joe? It's not the players the fans want, per se. It's the players that are going to make the team better. And not every player, even though they're talented or gifted in an area, are going to come in and help the Pacers or help the Celtics. It's got to be a good fit. And you know what else? It's got to be bottom line, the money. It's got to work out on the bottom line of the money. And I'm sure the Pacers are looking at that bottom line a lot, since the fan base has not been as supportive as they really should be, because this is a very good Pacer team. Another thing, NASCAR started up again, Joe, and I know you're not a big fan of it, but I know you're getting a little more excited because of one of our hometown buddies, Bo Lamastis, who's in the ARCA series and was down at Daytona last weekend racing, where he finished 16th for the Crosley Sports team. Daytona 500's going on this weekend. They had the duels yesterday. Danica, I'm overrated because of my GoDaddy advertisements. Patrick wins the poll, and I don't care if she won the poll or not. I mean, I'll be shocked if she does anything in that race.
I'm a junior guy, so.
So am I. And what I'm saying is that she won the poll, and that's great, and she's getting the headlines. But I want to see what she does in the race. In the duel, she finished like 17th. So, you know, some people who were defending her said, well, she didn't want to take any chances and hurt her car. And I understand that. I get that. But
Bo this week, and one thing he said is, you know, being his first experience on that track is qualifying is one thing. Being on the course with 40 other cars is another. He said it's pretty breathtaking.
Yeah, so. And that's the point, Joe. And you just nailed it with comments from Bo Lamastis. And as you know, I like NASCAR. I've not been to a NASCAR race, but I watch it. I read about it. I'm a junior fan. He needs to get it going, though. I'm almost feeling like he's looking to finish high and maybe not to win. And that worries me because I like him and I want him to be successful. But they've got some great racers out there. Obviously, Jimmy Johnson and Stewart and Garden and Kozlowski and Kane and Biffle and Busch. It's going to be fun because Daytona is a tough, tough track to race at. So Sunday, Daytona 500, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be. Yes, I look forward to it. You said I don't like NASCAR. I like NASCAR. I just don't follow it as much these days as I used to. But, you know, since Dale Jarrett left, I became a junior fan. And, you know, go junior.
Absolutely. Last couple things before we go to break and come back with Michael Lewis. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, who's been on our show. He does a great job on the high school circuit writing. You got to check him out at the Indianapolis Star, and you can follow him on Twitter as well. He has a story just came out. Former Cathedral player Jack Doyle graduated in 2008. 6'5", 275. Wasn't highly recruited out of high school, even though he was All-State and everything. Went to Western Kentucky. He's working out at the Combine. Looks like he may have a shot to get in the NFL. You can read about that. Another outstanding high school football player coming through the ranks. And then the NCAA, Joe, we're going to have to get into this with Bill Somm maybe next week if we can. It's Mark Emmert, and he runs the NCAA. I'll tell you what, it's like the story of the emperor has no clothes. Everybody just walks around and doesn't say anything. Finally, you know, it's starting to come to the top, starting to hit the fan, so to speak. The NCAA is just not doing a very good job, and his people are making mistake after mistake, and people are starting to talk up and say, hey, the emperor has no clothes on. And it seems like the NCAA just wants to stick his head up in the air and keep walking. But I'm telling you, we're gonna get Bill Somm on. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that went on down in Miami and just the different things that have been going on. But we're going to go to break right now, folks. When we come back, we're going to have Michael Lewis. We're going to be talking about Butler and St. Louis University, 20-5 St. Louis, 22-5 Butler. Big game tonight up at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse. We'll be back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No, don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're going to have Michael Lewis with us in just a minute. Hey, I was tweeting back and forth with Jay Billis this morning, and we were talking. He had brought up about the physical play in college and how there was an article written, and I can't remember what the site was, and I'll try to get it before the show's done. But he was talking about how the foul is a foul, but the real foul that's going on is the physical defensive play going on around the basket and when people have the ball going to the basket, and that it's just gotten too physical in college basketball. And, you know, my comment was I agree, but it's still up to the referee to make those decisions and see what's going to happen as far as a game is concerned. You know, when I was coaching high school basketball, and if I do again, the thing that we're going to do is we're going to practice to play physical. We're going to practice to knock down cutters. We're going to practice to keep people from getting to the basketball, and when they've got the ball, from getting the angle on us and blocking out and whatever else. But in the end, you're going to tell your team that when you go onto the court, they've got to play to what the officials are going to allow them to play to. They have to adjust. But it seems like as time has gone on in the game, and, you know, some of you may agree with me that have played, and some of you may not, but it seems like it's not the teams and the coaches that are adjusting to the game that's being played. It seems more like the referees are adjusting to the teams that are playing. Now, if you're coaching and your team is a physical team, or your team is an aggressive, quick team, that's really good. But if you're not, that can be a problem. But we'll talk about this ongoing situation as far as that's concerned going forward. Right now, Joe has let me know we have Butler assistant Michael Lewis on the line, and we know that when Michael Lewis joins us on the show, good things happen to the Butler Bulldogs. Michael, are we ready for the game tonight?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, it should be packed in here tonight. Hopefully people will still get out with the weather, and we'll have a good atmosphere in here, and should be a great game.
Well, you know, the storyline, there's different storylines in here, and before I get to that, let me at least let you comment as I congratulate Andrew Smith on Academic All-American, and maybe you can take a minute or two and comment on that before we get back into the St. Louis game.
Well, I think it's a great achievement for Andrew. We're extremely proud of his accomplishments, both on and off the court. And you know, really, I think as coaches sometimes and fans, you can get caught up in wins and losses. And what Andrew's been able to achieve, you know, is really neat, special deal. And it's seven straight years that Butler's been represented on the Academic All-American team, a couple years having multiple honorees, and even with Matt Howard being the Academic All-American of the Year. So it's been quite a run with some quality student-athletes here.
Well, and that is a testament to just the entire university, from the administration at the top through the coaching staff, athletic administration, coaching staff, that you're not looking for just basketball players. You're looking for people who play basketball that are good students, that want to learn, that want to build themselves and grow academically as well as athletically. And, Michael, you know this from your time playing, from your time coaching now as an assistant at different schools. Boy, it's a lot easier when you got a good academic student that's also a good basketball player.
Well, we focus a lot of time on our recruiting in the high achievers and guys that are self-motivated. And I think when you do that, you get the type of students and athletes that they've been able to have here at Butler. And it's special when you're able to go into practice and you don't have to coach effort. You can just coach basketball and different things that you want to accomplish that day, that you don't have to go into practice and rev these guys up. And you don't have to talk to them off the court and get them to go to class. They do it because they want to achieve at a high level.
Amen, Coach, and that's the truth, and I think that's the fact that you guys are a smart staff. You're looking for those kind of kids. All right, let's talk about Butler and St. Louis. We've got Coach Jim Cruz, former coach at the University of Evansville, at Army, assistant coach with Coach Knight at Indiana, former player at IU. He comes in as an assistant to Rick Majerus. Coach Majerus, everybody loved Coach Majerus. Plus, he's just a great coach. Health problems, and he's passed away. Coach Cruz is tabbed to step in interim and coach the St. Louis squad, and he has done just a great job, just as Coach Majerus thought he would do. He has done a great job with this group.
But he's done a great job. I mean, you said it. It's you know, the situation that he inherited. You know, taking over that team under those circumstances and to keep that place going in the right direction and probably having a better year than a lot of people anticipated after Coach Majerus passed away. But he's got them playing extremely well. You can tell they're a very mature team. You can tell by the way that they approach, and they're obviously detail-oriented, which I think comes directly from Coach Majerus and through Coach Cruz. They're a hard matchup for us. We obviously went down to St. Louis, and they put it on us pretty good. And so we'll see if we've been able to improve here in the last few weeks.
Well, I think it would be interesting, as far as I'm concerned, to say that for our listeners, that much like Butler, the way you play and are a thinking man's team, Coach Cruz is the same way. I've known Coach for a long, long time. Took in a lot of his practices, spent a lot of time talking to him. He wants his team to think, to be smart. Now, obviously, when you get out on the court, your repetitions, you react, you do what you're supposed to do. I understand that, but he wants people who understand the game, who understand the play, who understand the possession, who understand the situation. And early in the year, I was a little concerned with how their season would go. It seemed like they got off, I don't want to say to a rough start, but it was a little inconsistent. But boy, they've hit a stride. And as you said, you had a, you know, they just played a great game against you guys, but they have just played well now for a stretch. And I think coming into Hinkle, it is going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be something that they're going to have to be ready to handle in reverse this time. But you have a team that you're facing that understands how to play the game.
Yeah, and they are. They're playing very well. Like I said, they're a mature veteran group that has played together for some time. And since Mitchell has come back from an injury, you know, he's kind of blended in. And they're playing very confident. They're sharing the basketball. You know, they don't have anybody that's getting 20 a game, but they've got five or six guys that are all scoring, you know, 7-8 points or more. They're just dangerous from that standpoint because, as we've talked about in other shows, you've got to give up something. And I think that they have an opportunity to put five guys on the floor that it on any given night can go off on you. And so you've got to be careful in what you choose to give up, and hopefully we will guess right and be able to cover up some things. But I think they're a very talented group. They have some bigs that are very skilled that can stretch the floor, and then they have two guards. Three guards, actually, that can really break you down off the bounce. So they're going to give us a lot of problems, and we're going to have to be able to come up with some ways to kind of stymie some of that. And then we're going to have to play much better on the offensive end than we did at St. Louis.
You know, Michael, you've had you guys have had a couple injuries this year, one to Rodney, and I believe Andrew Smith had an injury. I'm not asking are they okay, not okay, but your team has been able to weather those storms when those guys have missed and seem to have come out on the end of if not being successful, hanging in there and being able to hold their own. What's that a testament to? I mean, is that just something that you guys have prepared your team for? Is that just the maturity of the team? It seems like when you have the injuries, whether you stub your toe or not, you're still out there playing Butler basketball, playing strong and playing hard.
We talked about having guys that want to achieve at a high level, and I think that's a major part of it. You know, when it's kind of the next man up type of deal, and you know, whether we've had Rodney go out and we're able to beat Gonzaga, and you know, Andrew Smith goes out, and it's just like, you know, the next guy comes up, and all our guys on our team, whether they're playing 30 minutes a game or they're not playing as much as they probably would like, they have pride in themselves, and they have pride in the way that they present themselves and the way that they play. And I think when their opportunity comes, you know, they use that pride and confidence and go out there and play. And our guys, and I think this is a testament to Brad, is Brad never gets too high or too low. And he really just kind of focuses on the journey and the process. You know, we have four regular season games left and then our conference tournament. And you're trying to prepare for that ultimate end in the NCAA tournament. And we have some work to do, but that's what you want to continue to build towards.
I love how you said that, you know, not too high, not too low. He just concentrates on the journey. And I think that's hard for coaches when they first start out. It's hard for players as they first go through it. But it's kind of like when we're coaching and we're talking about play the possession. Don't play the scoreboard.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're up 20, down 20, up 2, down 2. You need to play that possession, whether it's a defensive possession or an offensive possession. And I think the fact that coach and the rest of you are similar in that understanding, it just has to help those players. And it leads me to my next thought, and that is, you know, Coach, I know that you're not going to make a big deal out of it, but I know that it is for recruiting and for the university. The continued respect that Butler has gotten this year in the polls, even when you've stubbed a toe, you've still gotten respect and held, stayed in those rankings. And, you know, that's got to at least make you feel good about the image Butler has right now.
Well, I think it's a testament to what the team's in the last you know, in the past have accomplished, and there is a respect level, especially, you know, nationally for Butler, and I think it's also a compliment to how strong the Atlantic 10 is this year. And you look at the RPI, and we've got, you know, so many teams in the top 80. You know, at one time we had more teams in the top 80 than the Big Ten. I don't know if that's still the fact today, but within the last 7 to 10 days, it was. And we've also, you know, you look at the teams that we've played and who we've beaten, we've got some great wins. We've beaten two of the top three teams in the country. And there's not many teams in the, you know, across, you know, the states that can say that. So we've got some good wins. And I think because of the history of what Butler's been able to accomplish, we have that respect. But I don't know if we're the 15th ranked team in the country or not. Be honest with you, as a coach, you really don't care. You just want to continue to try to get better and make sure that we're playing the right way here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. You might take a peek and say, oh, that's nice, but you got to move on and keep going. A couple of the other teams in your conference that maybe a lot of people don't know about. Charlotte's got a nice club.
Well, they came in here, and we were without Andrew Smith, and they're very big, and they really hurt us on the inside, and we probably didn't play our greatest game, but I think they had a lot to do with that. And there's just a lot of – I think the biggest change that we've seen from going from the Horizon to the Atlantic 10 is there's not a night off. You know, even the teams at the bottom of our league have good players, and they're well coached, and they're quality opponents that if you're not ready to play, they're going to beat you, and you have to bring it night in and night out, and it's I think it's been exciting for our guys to be a part of a league that is so well respected.
Now you said you've got four regular season games and then the conference tournament. Where is the conference tournament at for you guys?
We're going to the brand new Barclays Center there in Brooklyn, so
it's gonna be
a neat deal out there in New York.
Yeah, I've told Joe that he needs to get on the line and get us some media credentials for that. I'm not sure if he's gotten that done yet.
Yeah, let's get you guys some press passes. I think taking the Coach K and Joe show on the road to New York City would be something special. You guys need to get to work on that.
Well, I'm definitely going to get on Joe about that. Hey, I've heard some things, and I don't know what you can substantiate on the recruiting trails, but I guess Trey Lyles has been at a practice in a game to watch the Dogs.
We can't talk about recruiting. There's Big Brother, the NCAA. We're not allowed to comment on recruits, but I think just as you mentioned, with the respect that we're getting in the polls and as a program. Obviously it does help in some recruiting areas and we're excited about the guys that we have coming in, and we're excited about the future of our program.
Very well said, Coach, and that's why
is that enough coach speak for you?
that's why you're one of the best. You know what you have to do and what you can do. Hey, let's just talk about this game tonight and we'll let you go. But when you look at St. Louis, what are you guys going to have to do on the offensive end to counteract a defense that's pretty solid, pretty physical, and pretty solid?
Yeah, you hit it on the head there with they're very physical. They're an athletic, quick team that can cover a lot of ground quickly. We're going to have to take care of the ball. You know, this is college basketball. St. Louis is very good at uncontested layups. So, which we gave them plenty of at St. Louis. We're going to have to do a better job of handling the basketball, passing the basketball. We can't allow them to speed us up. I felt like at St. Louis that, their defensive pressure sped us up a little bit. I think the atmosphere there, you know, we kind of got caught up in some of that. And it made us play, you know, a step or two quicker than we really wanted to. And we missed some opportunities that we normally – would see and find the right pass and make the right read and the right pass and they sped us up and they really took it to us. They took us out of our game. They had us playing, you know, at 35-40 feet instead of playing in the scoring area, and that's obviously a credit to the Coach Cruz and what those guys were able to do. So we're going to have to try to slow the game down a little bit in our mind and be a little bit more poised.
You know, Michael, this is Joe. Kenny said something about me getting on those press passes. You know, I got to thinking, you know, we've had you on before the IU game, before the Gonzaga game. We are kind of a good luck charm for Butler. Is there any chance that the coach and I can get on the charter to New York and then also to follow you in the NCAA tournament? It might, you know, might not be a bad thing to talk to Coach Stevens about.
You know, Joe, I always find it interesting that it's always Coach that's going, we'll have to get Joe on that. We're going to have to get Joe on that. See if Joe can get this done. What's Coach bringing to the table here? I mean, let's get him on something.
Hey, Michael, speaking of St. Louis, I guess when you guys went into play St. Louis at St. Louis, I guess it was a pretty electric and dynamic atmosphere, something that they don't, you know, they've got great enthusiasm over there, but I was under the impression, talking to a few people, that it was really out of sight that night.
It was crazy, and that's been the neat thing, and I think our guys are starting to embrace it. Whenever we go on the road, it's a circus. We've sold out every arena that we've been in the Atlantic 10, and it's been their whiteout game or their blueout or whatever it is that they're trying to – the gimmick that they're trying to come up with, and we've played in some unbelievable atmospheres. And as a college player, that's what you want. I think our guys are embracing that, and they're having fun with it. And when they're done playing and they look back on their college career, that's something that they're going to be very appreciative of, that they're playing in front of sold-out arenas and playing in atmospheres like that and not going out to half full, you know, gyms and things. And it's going to be really neat for them when they look back on it. I know they're enjoying it now. But it was a great atmosphere in St. Louis. And there's certain – when you get – in places like that and like our atmosphere when we played Gonzaga was probably one of the best I've ever been a part of. You get to a certain level of loud and then it's just loud. You know, it's not like, hey, on this day it was louder than it was last week. It's just loud. And we've been in those situations a few times this year, and it's pretty neat to be a part of.
You know, Michael, speaking of atmosphere, you know, we're getting ready to start Hoosier Hysteria here in the state of Indiana. Sectional start next weekend.
Can I come back and play in 1996 Southridge Sectional?
Oh gosh, just quickly, your quick memories of the atmosphere over at Southridge.
I've been lucky. You know, like we've talked about before, I've played in Madison Square Garden, I've played in Assembly, I've played in tons of places. If I could go back in time and play one more game, We're going back to Huntingburg and playing in that sectional atmosphere. There was nothing like it. You know, very very special to be a part of. And you know the kids in high school now, they, you know, I'm sure they're getting excited for the sectional, and it's a great time for them and something that they should be very excited to be a part of, and a neat experience for them. But for those of us that experienced what was going on in the Southridge sectional, there's nothing like it, and man, I wish I could go back and do it again.
Well, Michael, I wish you could too, and I wish I was right there on the bench watching you do it for me so we could cut those nets down again. But you got a big one tonight, and we wish you all the luck. We hope that the Coach K and Joe show and the Michael Lewis Butler connection works some magic again. That place will be rocking. The weather's not going to stop the dog fans from coming out. It is going to be rocking at Hinkle, and good luck to the Butler Bulldogs.
Well, we appreciate it, and if we pull this one out tonight, we're going to have to talk every Friday from here on out.
We're committed to it all the way, Michael. Hey, good luck, and if you run into Coach Cruz, tell him that Coach Schulte says hi, and hope to talk to him down the road.
Okay, I will. Thanks a lot.
All right, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Quarterback, go ahead.
Me or
Yeah, shouldn't we, like, learn by dodging balls that are thrown at us, or...
That's what this sack of wrenches is for. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And I do want to reiterate, anyone out there looking to design a new website, want to make your website better, Josh Houchin is the guy to call. And also wanted to mention a few other people before we get talking about sports. We, due to a problem with Blog Talk Radio, we were unable to be live today at Buffalo Wings and Rings, but we plan on doing that in the next week or two. And then also wanted to thank Hedinger Beverage. Had made us a nice banner, and wanted to thank them and invite everybody out there to go eat at Buffalo Wings and Rings, go have a Budweiser, go have a Dad's Root Beer, support the people who support Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, Joe, and I'll tell you what, I'm sipping on a Dad's Root Beer right now. And Hedinger Beverage just does a great job of supporting not just locally, but in the tri-state area. Great beverage company, all the Budweiser products. Dad's Root Beer is owned, operated, and made by Hedinger Beverage. And people remember that name from decades ago. Your dads drank it, Dad's Root Beer. Your grandpas drank it, grandmas drank it, and it's good stuff. So we appreciate that. And you know, I it was sad that we couldn't get the Wings and Rings today in Jasper. Ann Bennett does such a great job, and the ownership group there. But, you know, we've said from the beginning when we started this show that we wanted to do it right. And there are things that we can't do right because I'm limited in what I can do. But overall, we want to do it right. And the technical sound situation was not good enough for us to have the show there this weekend. But we will get to Buffalo Wings and Rings, which I love. It's a great place to eat, and I'll be eating there this weekend. And we're also, we'll be at other venues before we're done. We know we've talked about doing a show from historic Cabby O'Neill Gym. We've talked about doing a show from historic Memorial Gymnasium in Huntingburg. We've talked about being up in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, and there'll be other business locations that we go to. So if you're interested in having the Coach K and Joe Show, contact Joe. And Joe, you can give them that phone number again to contact you if they're interested in having us come out and do a live remote.
812-630-2449. You know, Coach, God, you know, I don't know what the problem is, but it really feels like, you know, someone had just elbowed me in the groin. And I'm not quite sure why, but I guess maybe from watching the video too much, trying to figure out what's fiction and what's fact.
Well, that's where we're going, Joe. We're going to talk a little bit about IU hoops, and we might as well start right there. And get ready for some negative responses. Let me just clarify. I am a Cody Zeller fan, and I am an IU fan. And if you tune into this show on a weekly basis or listen to the podcasts, you know that Coach K is a Hoosier fan. And I am always going to lean toward the Hoosiers, but sometimes you got to tell it like you see it. And I've got to tell you, I put the video on the Coach K and Joe Show Facebook site page. So go to Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook, and you can scroll down, and you will see the video. It shows two plays. It shows a play in which Cody got the ball in the post and made a move to the basket. And it shows Nick's going down onto the ground, and it appears that he was hit in the groin. Well, guys, I got to tell you something, Joe. And I know you're a Purdue fan, and you love this. But
I'm a Zeller fan, though. I'm a Cody Zeller fan. So
we are Zeller fans, period. We think the parents are outstanding. We think all three brothers are wonderful. We've had Luke on the show already. it appears to me that on that move to the basket, as he drop steps towards the middle, he takes his right elbow and leads with it, and it creates what I call space. And he starts to bring the ball in to his body with his left hand to make his move to the basket. But before he brings his right hand to the ball and he's turning his body, his right elbow appears to be pushed out away from his body and into the groin area of the defender. And then his arm comes back to the ball. Now, I don't know if that's a flagrant foul. I don't know if he was just trying to create some space between the defender, and normally he would have hit him in the chest or the stomach area, but because Cody was lower to the ground and the defender was lower to the ground, he hits him in the groin area. I can't make that call. The referee has to make that call. But if you're saying, Coach K, does it appear Cody elbows him in the groin? Yes, it does. It does. It does appear that happened. The second play, and the play that got a lot of people upset about, and I know Dick Vitale and other people who were doing the game got really upset about it and got on the Michigan State player, was where it appeared that Nix came down with his hand, wrist area, and hit Cody in the groin. But, again, if you look at the video that we have posted on the Coach K and Joe Show Facebook page, it appears that, again, that Cody grabs his wrist and pulls it towards him. Now, did he pull it towards him on purpose and then fake that he was hit in the groin? Or when he pulled his wrist down, maybe to keep him from trying to defend him, did Nix's hand ricochet and hit him in the groin? And we all know, guys, how sensitive that area is. If it's a quick flick or a hard punch, it's sensitive. And I know national TV, everybody, and Cody is a great kid and a great player, but when you look at it, it sure looks to me, and this is my opinion, folks, it sure looks to me on that video, and the video we posted is in real time and also in slow motion, that Cody was the initiator of both of those actions. Regardless of what the intent was, it looks like he was the initiator. And I know that Dan Dockage brought this up on his show, and he probably was a lot more negative towards what happened than I was as far as what Cody's initiated the action. But it wasn't a popular thing to say, Joe.
I'll tell you what. He doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. First of all, guys like Cody Zeller, they make a Purdue guy like me not happy, okay? Because I can't dislike him, okay? And I'm supposed to dislike IU. Mill Mallory, Steve Alford, there's been a list of guys that fit that category, okay? But he doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. He could have been hitting him. It looks to me, I mean, maybe he's trying to hook him, which maybe would have been a hooking foul.
Yeah.
But on the other one, you know what? If Cody did that, you know what? Little gamesmanship, trying to get your team a little advantage. I don't have a problem with it. I really do not have a problem with it. And Kenny, I think that it's all fair game. I mean, I don't have a problem with him if he did do that, you know.
And well, if Nick
it makes more sense because the Michigan State team is such thugs. You know how I feel about them. That it's very easy to believe that one of them would hit someone. So.
Well, I tweeted initially after that game when I saw it that it looked like to me that Nix did nothing, and I still say that. And if, like I said, if Cody Zeller initiated both of those events, I don't know what he was trying to do from it. You say gamesmanship. I don't disagree with that. Let me ask our listeners out there who right now are taking a side. And they're saying, oh, you know, I can't believe he's talking against Cody Zeller. Or saying, yeah, that's what I saw. Is it any different than flopping? Joe, is it any different than setting up in the lane or guarding your man and he makes a move and you flop and get the foul called on him? I mean, you talk about gamesmanship. I kind of look at it the same way. Here is an opportunity to get an advantage, to make something appear that wasn't that it was, just as flopping is. Nobody, even though they're being more, they're focusing harder on the flop and they're trying to make it more difficult to do. Joe, is it any different than flopping?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you know it's all fair game, you know, and I think it's fine, you know. I think you know if he did it, he got it, and it worked. I used advantage, so be it, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about Dickie V, and we all love him, the PTP-er, but he's got limited eyesight to begin with. And for him to really, and I mean, I heard him. He got on the Michigan State player a lot. And, you know, I think he owes him an apology. And I know how you feel about Michigan State and everything, but I think he owes him an apology. It wasn't quite in real time. It wasn't quite what it appears when you slow it down. And you know, eyesight is such a wonderful, wonderful thing, but we have to understand that things are going quicker, angles are different, you can't see the full piece, and you never know what the intention was. So gamesmanship isn't the same as flopping, flip-flopping on the court to draw a charge. It doesn't bother me either way. But the question to me has been, do you think Cody Zeller initiated these things? And having looked at the video, and I know one of our listeners, Scott Beckman, wrote on our Facebook page that he didn't see it the way I saw it. And you can go to our Facebook page, Coach K and Joe Show, and see that. He didn't see it my way. So I guess it's what other people saw. I'm sure Kurt Guxell has his opinion, and Will on the Rant, and Don Schulteis. But I think your point of it being gamesmanship is valid. It is interesting though when you watch the slow mo.
Yeah, I think when the slow mo really makes you think maybe it wasn't in real time though it sure looked like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, speaking of IU, I think we all have to give Coach Green and the team their kudos. And even if you're not an IU fan, for them to go into Michigan State, where they had not won in 17 years, 17 games in that arena in the Breslin Center, they had not won. And here's the interesting thing, folks, to our listeners. Hear me out a little bit. I know I'm an IU fan. But hear me out. I've been critical of IU throughout the season as well. I've talked about some of their weaknesses, some of their deficiencies, lack of team play at different times, questionable what's going on with sideline decisions.
You sound like a Purdue fan there.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I got to tell you, when you can go on the road with a number one ranking, facing a team that you barely beat at home in a battle, facing a team that most people thought would win the game. I mean, I don't care what the line was and all that other stuff. I didn't even look at it. But most people felt like, hey, IU hasn't won there in 17 tries. They barely won at home. It was questionable when they won at home. I think that Indiana University, and I tweeted this, I don't think it was a national championship game. I know that. It wasn't. But I think what it was for Indiana was it showed that they have the mental toughness of a national championship game. And I tweeted that and put that on Facebook after the game. I got a blog that I'm ready to go ahead and publish this weekend that talks a little bit about IU and where they're at this point in the Michigan State game. And I really think that IU was carrying a lot of weight into that gym, into that game, the number one ranking. They were the first team in what, Joe, 6 weeks that lost a game as the number one ranked team and still held their ranking. Now, of course, they went and beat Ohio State at Ohio State, which handily gave them that number one ranking back, or retained it. but they were the first team in 6 weeks to do that. They go in there to Michigan State, Tom Izzo. Everybody's thinking they can't win there, haven't won in 17 years, have to play great team ball, and crunch time comes up. The difference in the Illinois game and the difference in the Michigan State game, Victor Oladipo, Cody Zeller, even though he didn't have a great second half, those guys stepped up, and obviously he played a nice game, but crunch time came, and Victor Oladipo stepped up and showed why he, if not, is one of the best college basketball players this year in the land.
I think for what he's done for his team, I would think that he's got to be in consideration for the player of the year. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. And, from what he did, what he was as a freshman to what he's made himself as a junior. I mean, when people told me even last year, it might be his last year, he'd probably go pro, I laughed.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, no way. But he has worked his butt off. And I'll tell you what, the difference I keep reading is Purdue has one gym rat right now, and IU's got a bunch. And I'll tell you, Ryan, my daughter, when she decided to transfer from Marshall, IU was a choice, and we were there. And we got a full tour of the whole place, complete with the assistant coach making fun of Purdue the whole time, and my daughter looking back at me and laughing because she doesn't like Purdue either. We got to the practice gyms, and guess what? They were full, jam-packed, 10 o'clock in the morning. They were there. They were shooting. They were working on their own. And, and I think that Oladipo and that group have just really, they really worked hard. The only negative I could see is maybe Sheehy, or I call him T-Shee, maybe could slow down on the showing off a little bit. But other than that,
Well, I just think that I just want to give IU a lot of credit at this point, and I've got to give Coach Green a lot of credit to have them mentally ready, and they are. They're a mentally tough team. Now, I know they might go out and lose to Minnesota. I don't know, but I think that mentally this team is way above last year's team. And for those who laugh about Victor Oladipo, let me just say this, okay? I may not know everything about the game, but I think I've spent a lot of time in the game, and I've seen a lot of players, not just on TV, but coached them in camps, in All-American camps and different things. And I remember Michael Jordan when he was at North Carolina. And if you watched Michael Jordan's tapes when he first started at North Carolina, you knew he was a really, really good player. But he wasn't the legend that he would become. And Victor Oladipo, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but he has Rondo-type speed. He has Vince Carter, Michael Jordan-type jumping ability and quick jumping ability. He needs to improve his perimeter shooting, but do people realize how much he's improved his perimeter shooting since last year? Since last year, he has improved it 200%. His defensive anticipation, it's not just quickness, folks. It's anticipating passing lanes. It's knowing what the other team, the intricacies of what the other team likes to do, where they like to initiate the offensive pass, where they like to take the next pass. He's anticipating those things, and he's using his quickness and his brains to get out in those passing lanes. And that's the difference with good defenders. Good defenders anticipate what the offensive players are going to do. They're ready for the chest pass that should have been a bounce pass. They're ready for the soft pass that should have had some mustard on it, hot mustard on it. And that's what Oladipo's doing right now. And if you watch him away from the ball on offense, I'm going to tell you right now, coaches in the Big Ten, this is high school 101. You better have somebody on Victor Oladipo from the beginning of the possession. Because if you don't, when the shot goes up, if Victor wasn't shooting it, the odds are he's somewhere close to it if it gets missed. And you look at that Michigan State tape, and you look at some of the other tapes, And there's nobody checking Victor Oladipo. And if you're going to find him after the shot goes up, it's too late. He's already gone.
Hey, Kenny, I just remembered, I would like to play something for everybody. WRZR, Alan Williams, our good friend, sent us something that he said we could use on the show today, a little Michigan State montage from the game, just about a minute long. Wanted to play it real fast, okay?
Do it.
This is Hoosier Basketball.
Stopping Christian, open three on the way, good. Good. Watford buries his first. Christian can't find him, goes to Elston, a three is good. And Derek Elston buries a three.
It's Hoosier Basketball.
Here's the pass left, and Vic steals the ball, bats it to Yogi, back down to Vic. He will slam a two-hand. Victor Oladipo with a huge play there. Picked up by Yogi, down inside, pulls up, throws it up. That's up and in! Oladipo with a tremendous tip-in, his 15th point of the game. And here's Christian trying to get it in.
Now, two things I want to bring up about that clip is, well, first of all, thank you to Alan Williams, WRZR, an affiliate. If you're looking to catch an IU game in our area, 94.5 WRZR carries them all. Two things. You heard Oladipo's name quite a bit, right? And then also, my wife, I was at the Jasper Lagodi game during it, and I texted her, said, how's the IU game going? She goes, and she's a Purdue graduate. She said, let's just forget it. Derek Elston just hit a three. that was her message to me. Derek Elston's going to hit a three. It's over. So.
That was a great montage by. That was really neat. Alan did a great job on that. Make sure that he knows how much we appreciate that. We'll use that and maybe some others together for us later.
One other thing, and I'm going to play it during the rant. He sent me a song, and. And I'm going to play it during the rant, but we'll save that for later. So,
it was a perfect lead into my last point that I wanted to make about IU before we go to break. They've done two things this year, and it shows their mental toughness. It shows their development as a team. And listeners that disagree or agree, they can let me know. They've gone in and beat a top team. Like Michigan State, at Michigan State, hadn't done it in 17 years, okay? Since Calbert Chaney and Damon Bailey were roaming the sidelines. But they also this year earlier went out and beat a top-ranked team on the road, which they had not done up to that point in the last couple years. So this tells me that the development of this team mentally is where it needs to be, and that's why I said it may not have been the national championship game they played with Michigan State, but it's definitely showing the mental toughness of a team that can play and win a national championship game. Long way to go, folks. I know it. IU bashers, you're laughing. Ha, ha, ha. IU fans, you're saying we're on our way. Long way to go. We'll see what happens. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl-ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm Joe, and joined by the Coach Ken Schulteis. Coach, you know, one of your favorite times of the year is upon us. We had the IHSA sectional draw last Sunday, and everyone's filling out their brackets and trying to figure out who's going to win these games. And have you been getting your pencil sharpened, or have you been looking at them at all?
Absolutely, Joe. And you know, when we hit the rant portion of the show, one of the things we want to do with Kurt and Don and yourself is to go through some of the sectionals that around the state that are of interest, and we'll talk about who's playing who, and we'll all make some picks, at least in the opening round games, and then we'll come back next week and talk about the semifinal games and final games that are going on, and we'll pick some sectional winners. But before we do that, Joe, of the Coach K and Joe Show, I want to hit some high school hoop notes. Jaquan Lyle, a top 20 junior in the state, plays at Evansville Bossy. Some of you might know or remember he was suspended for a couple games. I think he got into a little scuffle with a JV teammate or something like that. You know, let me just say this before we go. And Joe, you agree 100%. You know, young people are young people. They make decisions and do things that are silly and not in their best interest. And sometimes they don't think about the people around them or the people they represent, but they're going to grow up, they're going to make better decisions, and they're going to move forward. But Jaquan Lyle was out for a couple games. I think Bossy went 1-1 during that stretch, lost convincingly to Harrison, I believe, and won another game. He came back the other night against Mount Vernon, who has a nice squad this year. Mount Vernon of Posey County. He scored 20 points, and they went on to victory. Indianapolis Cathedral, it broke this week in the Indianapolis Star. And I'm not going to mention their names. It is in the Star if you want to look. Two basketball players on the Indianapolis Cathedral team. And you know, Joe, we've talked about Cathedral quite a bit this year because they are one of the top teams in the state, and they have a IU recruit in Colin Hartman, who has just been playing great basketball for them as they get ready for the tournament. But they got kind of rocked this week. They had two players suspended for the year. They were planning to put together a scheme to steal laptops, notebooks. You know, that some of the high schools now have notebooks or laptops for their students. They were scheming to put together a plan to take these laptops and then sell them. It was found out. It was foiled. I'm not sure if some of them were sold or not, but they have been released from the team. It did not stop Cathedral. They won big the other night, but they did have two players that were suspended for the year. Again, kids do really dumb things and don't think about the consequences. And then also we've heard that in the Southern Indiana area, Vincennes, Alice's may have a couple of players facing some suspension for some weekend events that they shouldn't have been a part of. But we'll see what happens there.
That'll open up that sectional quite a bit if that story is all true. I mean,
it changes the sectional completely, and it puts who I have been saying since middle of the season, Jasper, in a position to win that sectional if that's true, because I believe a couple of those players could be starters. And if you're a Vincennes fan out there, please don't scorn the messenger here. I just am mentioning that some of these things happen. But I do want to tell you, though, that young people, you know, they do silly things at times, and they do grow up to be some great people. So whatever happens, let's hope they learn their lesson and they move on, and we don't see much of that happening. But it is sectional time. And, Joe, were you able to see the special to the Herald by Denny Spinner on the sectional?
Was that recent or was that from the past?
Well, it was sent to me by Terry Tucker, and you know Terry's a big basketball fan, and I'm not sure when it was printed, but it was a great little article in the Herald. It was a special to the Herald, colorful mosaic for senses and memories, and it's probably older, but it goes through all different things that people remember from the Southridge sectional growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of neat things. You know, at one time there were so many teams in the tournament that they had to play sectional games throughout the week, not at night, but during the day also. And people, students were literally let out of school to go attend the sectional games. And you went in the gym and you watched your game. And when your game was over, you had to leave because the gyms weren't big enough to hold all the crowds for all the games that were going to be played. So you left, and then people, the students and fans came in for the next game, and they held tickets that might have been your same seat, but not for that session of game. So at one time, you had 700 or 800 schools participating in the tournament, and today you have about half that. And we'll talk about a little more about that on the rant. But here's some of the things that I thought were neat, Joe, and I'll just throw them out there. The old Ireland Spuds. If you're familiar with Ireland, Indiana, it's a couple miles outside of Jasper in Dubois County in southern Indiana for listeners outside the state. Famous for being Irish, famous for their St. Patrick's Day parade and their green beer, and famous for their two wonderful places to eat chicken. But they used to be the Ireland Spuds. And here's one of their cheers. How do you do, Ireland High School? How do you do? How do you do, Ireland High School? How do you do? We are glad to see you here with a smile and a cheer. How do you do, Ireland High School? How do you do?
Yeah.
One of the ones I love, where is our team? Down in the dressing room picking up steam. Sauerkraut, wieners, pretzels, and beer, all for Jasper. Stand up and cheer. And yes, that was a student body cheer. Sauerkraut, wieners, pretzels, and beer, all for Jasper. Stand up and cheer. And who could forget when the starting lineups were announced, Joe, for the Jasper Wildcats, and people would put bags over their heads or turn around with their backs facing the floor as the Jasper team was announced.
Yep. I remember it. I remember it well. I remember being a, you know, it was like being the New York Yankees or something like that, you know.
Oh, it really was. And when you're talking about 6,200 people just jammed in there, one of the Southridge cheers, or Honeyberg cheers, the Honeyberg Hunters before they became the Southridge Raiders, it was Honeyberg Hunters and Holland Dutchman. Coach, open the door, let those Hunters on the floor. Other people talk about just listening on the radio to Bob Simmers, or before that, Jack Brandt, just calling the games, and just the wonderful atmosphere and the way they called the games. Of course, Walt Ferber and Kurt Guxell today calling those sectional games. Joe, what was your greatest memory?
My greatest memory was actually going to be featured in Jasper today. Hate to keep plugging us, but was this 75 sectional might have been at one of the first sectional finals I was ever at, and Mark Unger and I were sitting in the Perry Central section, and that was my baptism to how much everyone hated Jasper. And he and about the end of regulation, not the overtimes, regulation, he said, let's get out of here, and we went and stood behind Jasper's bench and got to take that whole triple overtime in, just standing in that little area where you enter the locker rooms, and watched it from there, and watching Terry Tucker, you know, being all depressed, and watching Jim Schulteis throw up the shot, you know, should we give Jimmy an assist or what? You know, I mean, it was perfect because Terry was right there. And the one thing I didn't realize until I talked to your dad was you had to control the ball. You couldn't tip it back then. I didn't realize that until I talked, until we interviewed your father, you know, that was the way it was.
Yeah, I think for a lot of fans on the high school level in Indiana, and probably in other states where the rules have changed, we forget as decades go by the differences of the rules. And one of the things we talked about in the interview was the jump ball. Anytime you had a tie-up ball, instead of the possession arrow, which most people, they've forgotten that every time there was a held ball, you had to go to the center circle or the free throw circles, and you had a jump ball. And literally, you didn't change possessions. You had a chance to either get the ball or lose the ball. So there was always strategy in the jump ball with, we're going to let them get the tip, but we're going to try to steal it. Or we're going to get the tip, but we're going to tip it away from our basket so if they get the ball, they can't get a quick, easy shot. So there was a strategy to everything that went on. And in that sectional, that triple overtime sectional, that was a huge situation. Down four with 13 seconds left, Forest Park actually controls the tip, but it goes into the Jasper hands as we rotate, and Brad Vogel ends up laying it in, and Jasper gets a timeout. So, yeah, it was the tip ball. There was a control versus tip issue in the rule. It made it tough because the official, it's subjective. It's subjective to what that official or the officials think it is. And we know officials, Joe. My gosh, it's tough enough for them to get the easy call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just some of the other things that were in this article, and people get a chance. I like this one. How loud the Jasper crowd was when the Wildcats made a run, and how loud the crowd was against Jasper when some other team made the run. And I remember that well. You had the Jasper crowd, which was enormously loud, but by the final game or semifinal game or any game, everybody in that gym was rooting against Jasper because Jasper was the larger school and usually went in as the favorite. But also one of the comments was when the Jasper students who would dress up would come down. And Joe, you remember, you guys did it. You didn't just come down one aisle. You guys picked out a couple of different aisles to come down. And the way the Southridge gym was set up, you come in from the top of the gym because it's built down into the ground. So you descended down those stairwells, and everybody in the gym saw you.
And a lot of people booed. We were probably probably one of the few fan bases to get booed. And usually it's the team, they didn't care for us a whole lot. But you know what? It was a very positive thing that group did in 81. We were always very positive with the cheers. Some of them might have been a little quirky, like I explained earlier. It was always for our team, but every once in a while got a little off base. Can you remember playing, you may not have heard, when Pup Holes or someone would start the chant, and then it'd be the whole student section doing it, chanting and pointing it at a Herald photographer, Al Petersheim. Al forgot his underwear. They had a good time, but they were never negative to the other team.
It was a good time, and I have a lot of pictures on my Facebook page, Ken Schulteis' Facebook page, that people can see. And you can also go to 100 Years of Jasper Basketball and see a lot of pictures from that time, as well as your online magazine, Jasper Today. So, Joe, before we go to break and come back with the rant, I've got a couple things I want to ask you. Let's see how many mascots and schools you can connect.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Give me the mascot name for Petersburg.
Indians.
That is correct. You're one for one. Give me the mascot name for the small but neat little town of Otwell.
Millers. My father-in-law was the head coach there.
Yes, he was. Fred O'Brien was a head coach there. You're two for two. Give me the mascot name for a neat little town in the southeastern part of DuBois County. They got a great place to get ice cream there, the Dairy Mart. Birdseye.
The Yellow Jackets.
That is correct, the Birdseye Yellow Jackets. And I'm not sure if it's still there, Joe, but if you drive down the street by the Dairy Mart where the high school used to be, and I think they're tearing down the gym now, there was somebody had taken their chainsaw, taken a huge log, and used their chainsaw to carve a yellow jacket out of the bird's eye yellow jackets. Hmm. And it was up there about a year ago. I don't know if it's still there. Okay, you're 3 for 3, Joe. Here we go. Winslow.
Eskimos.
4 for 4. Dale.
I was a sectional junkie, so keep
Dale.
Talking about it. The Dale, Aces, Golden Aces, something like that.
You got it. 5 for 5. Stendhal.
Oh, I've heard it once, but I don't know. I can't even guess.
The Stendhal Cardinal.
Cardinal? Nope, that's not what I was thinking.
Well, you know what? You're 5 out of 6. That's not too bad. Let's go to break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Don Schulteis, Kurt Guxell joining us. We're going to talk some sectionals around the area, as well as rant about some other things going on. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the show, and we're going to be getting ready for our rant.
Back in 73, I was watching a game on the old TV when Dad came in and turned the radio on. I said, Dad, what the world are you trying to do? Can't you see we're trying to watch IU? He said, turn the sound down, boys. I'll turn up Don. Then I heard this voice coming over the air. A man calling that game, he could put you right there. On a Buckner jumper, he could even describe the switch. I said, Dad, now tell me, because I got to know, who is that guy on the radio? He just looked at me and grinned and said, old fish. He's called the games through all these years, through the ups and downs, through the smiles and tears. He's been right there through thick and thin, through the mountaintop and back down again. Got lots of fans, I'm sure one, still turn down the TV to turn up Don. Every true IU fan's wish, old fish. Let's hear you, Don.
The Hoosiers look like they're going for the last shot.
Hello?
Joe?
Now for 40 years, he's called them all. He's watched those banners being hung in the hall. There's just not much that he's not seen, I guess. Well, he called the shot, he even called the chair. That undefeated season, yep, Don was there. When it comes to play-by-play, old fish is best.
Score!
And he's cream and crimson, through and through. He's the golden voice of old IU. And when he's gone, friend, it just won't be the same.
G.I.'s, deep wide!
So here's a tip of the hat to Mr. Don. A mighty big fish in the IU pond. He belongs in the Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He's called the games for all these years, through the ups and downs, through the smiles and tears. He's been right there through thick and thin, through the mountaintop and back down again. He's got lots of fans, and I'm sure one still turned down the TV to turn up Don. Every true IU fan's wish. Oh, show them how you do it, son.
3 seconds, 2 seconds, we're now all the way outside to Watford. 3 on the way. Oh!
Top and back down again. He's got lots of fans, and I'm sure one I'd turn off the TV to turn up Don. Every true IU fan's wish. Old fish. Go fish.
Unbelievable!
And that song comes courtesy of, yet again, Alan Williams, WRZR. Thought everyone would get a kick out of it. Our good friend, Don Fisher, who we hope to have on the show here again real soon. And we're now with the Rant members. We've got Don Schultheis, Kurt Duxell, Coach K, and myself. Guys, how's it going?
Good afternoon.
Kurt, I can just hear them making a song about you, Kurt, at some point.
I certainly hope not, because that's awful.
Joe, make sure that gets on our Facebook page.
Oh, it will.
That's I like that. I love fish. I love fish.
I love fish too, but that song's awful.
You know what? You know what, Kurt? That's why before Don says it, that's why some people like Pepsi and some people like Coke. I like that song, and you don't. And that's how we're going to start the rant.
I love it.
Don, any comment on Cathedral?
Well, it's just an unfortunate situation. I don't think all the details and, you know, verification of the facts are in, but it's clear that two of the starters on this team are suspended and they're not going to be coming back this basketball season. It's just unfortunate, because I will tell you, Cathedral's won 13 in a row. Last Friday they beat Ben Davis. Then they came back and beat the number two ranked national team, but the number six ranked national team. And then last night, even with the two starters out, they beat Center Grove. Not a great Center Grove team, but still, through all the controversy and adversity, they were able to continue to come out and execute. And the team overall is playing, you know, just where you want your team to be as you're rolling into the sectionals. So it's unfortunate. But as you mentioned earlier in the show, Coach, that sometimes kids make some really short-term decisions. And the one thing is it not only affects them and their future, but if you're part of a team and even part of a family, it affects a lot of different people. And, you know, we as parents always try to emphasize that, but boy, it's just sad. It's sad for the kids. It's sad for the teammates. It's sad really for the school, because the kids involved were leaders at the school and that kind of thing. So I guess enough on that, but you asked for my views and got them.
Well, I mean, people make dumb decisions, and they can haunt you for a while. So let's hope that they learn from it, and other people who are thinking of doing something silly learn that the consequences. Hey, Kurt, there are Jello shots in the world, and there are groin shots in the world. And in the news this week, we've heard a lot about shots to the groin. Cody Zeller either getting them or giving them. I said my two cents earlier in the show. I don't know if you caught it or not. You can watch video on our Facebook page of the two incidents during the Michigan State game. Any thoughts from your end?
I didn't think it was such a big deal because, I watched the game with the sound down. Evidently, Vitale made a big deal out of it. I thought that I think that thing was instigated by Zeller. I know that's blasphemy down here, but I think he's the one that caused a lot of that uproar. What about you? I didn't hear your take.
Well, if you listen to the podcast, you will. But yes, I am.
Okay.
I talked about the fact that it's pretty clear to me in the video when you look at it. And that night when I was watching it, at first I was just a little surprised at the call, because it didn't look to me like the Michigan State player had done the initiation of the contact. So. Having said that, I agree with you, and yes, it is blasphemy if you're an IU fan, but I want to reiterate, we are IU fans, and we are big Cody Zeller fans, but man, the facts are the facts, at least from what it looks like on the video. We don't know what the intent was, but we it looks like the initiated action came from Big Handsome.
I just don't know what would possess somebody to do that. I guess if you're getting beat around on all game, I guess that would make you maybe want to do something like that, do you think?
Well, you know, sometimes you tell people to to flop on any time he makes a move to the basket, flop and try to get the charge. I guess that, you know, I don't know that that's what was discussed, but maybe that's just something that has been done to him, and he was trying to put it in his arsenal or bag of tricks, so to speak. You know, you're trying to gain advantages out there, and a lot of times, and I said this earlier on the show, and had some tweets with Jay Billis earlier today, you know, the officials are supposed to control how the game's played, but anymore I feel like the officials are going ahead and adjusting to how the players and the coaches are playing the game. And that may not always be good because it may get just a little too physical out there. And the purity of the basketball, you know what I mean by the movement of the basketball and the cuts and the different things like that sometimes get taken away because it's allowed to get too physical. But enough on the soapbox. Guys, let's talk sectionals. What I'd like to do today is go through some of the sectionals, talk about some of the opening round games, get you guys' thoughts on some teams, and then let's pick who we think are going to win those games. And then we'll see what happens next week as we go in on Friday as we go into the semifinal and final rounds. But before I do that, I do want to give some IHSA facts. In case some people don't know, you can go to the IHSAA.org, and you can get the news release that they sent out on the tournament pairings, and you can get some of the facts about the tournament. There are 403 teams this year in the tournament. That's actually up from what it has been. Obviously, at one time, there were over 800, might have been even close to 1,000 at one point, but we had dwindled down quite a bit, under 400, but there are 403 teams now, 5,926 participants. So there's a lot of people playing basketball in the state of Indiana, and that's just the number of people participating in the state tournament. By class, there are 101 schools in Class 4A. There are 101 in 3A. There are 100 in 2A, and there's 101 in 1A.
Hello?
Wow, we've got an inadvertent commercial coming on.
Yeah.
And in defending state champions, 4A is Carmel. They're in sectional 8. 3A is Guerin Catholic, sectional 26. 2A is Park Tudor, sectional 42. And 1A is Ligoti, sectional 63. So those are just some quick facts on there. If you want to know who's won the most sectionals, all-time sectional championships, who do you think has the most sectionals, guys?
Ben Sands.
Close.
Susan Anderson. Would know.
Anderson.
No. All-time sectionals, Kokomo, 72. Vincennes Lincoln, 69. Lafayette Jeff, 68. Marion, 66. And Anderson is in the top 10. They have 51 sectional championships. So a lot of teams up from the middle of the state. Vincennes Lincoln, of course, down from the southern part of the state. All right, sectional draw came out on Sunday, and I know, Kurt, you had to be all over that because you are the voice of the Southridge Raiders, and let's start with the Southridge sectional in 2A. And let's talk a little bit about that field. Take it away, big guy.
Well, first, it's seven teams. That's kind of different from most situations. So they have an extra night. They play one game on Tuesday. That's Perry Central, one of the favorites against Tell City, a county rival. Then on Wednesday night, Forest Park and Modern Day square off. Two equal teams there. They've played about the same type of basketball this season. Then in game two, it's North Posey and South Spencer. Southridge got a really good draw for them. They not only did they get the bye, but they get obviously to play on their home court, and then they
probably get a prepare for Perry Central, who's a lot better than Del City at this stage of the season. So that's how that goes. And then the two winners from Wednesday obviously playing the second game. So Perry Central and Southridge, obviously the two favorites right there, and they could be on a collision course for a Friday semifinal matchup.
Now, Kurt, North Posey and Southridge just hooked up this past week. How did that game look, and how did the two teams fare?
It was a really weird game. Southridge came out, and they led 9-0 before North Posey even got a shot off. They created some turnovers in the press. They locked them down in the half court. Then North Posey proceeds to hit 6 3-pointers in the first half to take a 2-point lead at the halftime break, where Southridge pulled away in the second by 13 points. So it was a really good game for Southridge, and they're 16-3 right now and playing very well. It was interesting. Your former assistant Andy Igel was there because he was a mentor to both Heath Howington from North Posey and Jeremy Roush from Southridge. So it was neat catching up with Andy on Tuesday night. So that was really cool.
Now, I know that Southridge has got a pretty solid team, but I continue to get a feeling that Perry Central is a team that people really need to take note of. They can flat play this game.
Oh, they're really good. They've played really good basketball. Again, like I said, they're about, you know, they're a team with 6'1", 6'2 players, and they really slash and play good pressing defense, and they're kind of a mirror image of Southridge, and it'll be interesting to see how they play away from their gym. They've had a couple of head scratchers. They lose to North Posey, did Perry Central here late in the season. So it's going to be a really good game when the two teams play. I'm just looking forward to seeing that, if that comes to fruition, if they can beat Tell City.
Okay, now if we look at that tournament and the draw, you feel like this puts some pressure on you because you're the voice of the Raiders. Is this a tournament draw that you feel like the Raiders are going to come out of?
Again, it all depends on that Perry Central Southridge game, but if Southridge plays like they're capable of playing on their home floor, they're undefeated on their home floor this season, I think they can, because I just like the way they play defense. It starts with defense. It starts with talking. It starts with enthusiasm, something that they haven't had in that program for a long, long time, and I'm impressed with them. Can they play a bad game? They most certainly can. They played a bad game the first time that they played against Perry Central. That was at Perry Central. They didn't play well against Modern Day, and they certainly didn't play well in that loss to Wood Memorial. But, again, I think they are more than capable of winning that sectional. And, you know, they're in the pipe bracket on Friday night on their home floor. So I think it's a good possibility if they play up to their capability, they can win it.
So let's go ahead and take a look. Game one, Perry Central, Tell City. I'm going to pick Perry Central. Kurt?
Yeah, I'll take Perry Central.
Don?
DC?
DC? And I would say, Joe, you're probably going with Perry Central, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we got Perry Central. Game two, Forest Park and Evansville Modern Day. This is not a typical game between these two teams because Forest Park isn't the typical Forest Park team they've been, and Evansville Modern Day is not the typical Evansville Modern Day team. I'm going to go with Evansville Modern Day in this game. Kurt?
I would probably lean that way. Forest Park beat them earlier, and then Modern Day kind of went on their little tailspin, but I think they're really a capable team. But Forest Park, since their coaching change, they've played some pretty decent basketball. They go down to Gibson Southern and beat the Titans by 28 points. And even their coach, Jeff Litteren, said, I didn't know we could beat anybody by 28 points. They played their best game of the season. And that was their last regular season game. That's all systems go toward the tournament. But, you know, if gun to head, I would probably go with Modern Day. But, again, when the Rangers walk in that gym, and I know it's something that didn't happen in the 70s or 80s, but they think they own that place.
Yeah.
And these are the guys that haven't done anything yet. And that's what a culture will do for you. They think that they, I mean, it's a magical vibe that goes through that gym. But if I had to pick, I'd say modern day.
Don?
Oh, I never picked the Rangers to do anything because I think they measure up. So I'm going with modern day Wildcats.
Joe.
I'll tell you what, I'm going against the grain. Phil Winkler is a good friend of mine, and I'm going to have faith in assistant coach Phil Winkler, and he's going to
Well, he's a good friend of mine, too.
Some magical plan.
I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but Joe, okay, you go with Forest Park. And then game three, South Spencer versus North Posey. I'll tell you what, man, I'm not sold on either team. Help me out here, Kurt. What are your thoughts?
Well, I like North Posey. I thought they were actually pretty, you know, put together well. And, again, they play kind of like Southridge does, again, because Jeremy, Andy, and they're kind of come from that tree, and they're pretty good. So I think I'll take North Posey.
All right, I'm gonna go with you on that, Kurt. I'll take North Posey. Don?
can't vote against Andy Eigel. I'm going with North Posey.
Coach Jingleball, in honor of his retirement, we're going with North Posey.
Okay, let's just jump down real quickly to 1A, and obviously you guys know where I'm going with that. We're talking about Lagodi, and, you know, right now, I'm not sure where Lagodi stands in all this. They did not look very good against Jasper in the cabbie the other night on Tuesday night. In fact, they didn't look good at all. And Jasper in the second half and the last 2 minutes of the last minute of the first half kind of had their way with the Lions. But that sectional sets up like this. Game one, West Washington. And if I'm looking
Wrong
at this
one.
Right, game
Wrong
one,
one,
West Washington and
That's
Borden.
Orleans. That's you're Orleans. On the wrong one. You're at Orleans.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. I am on the wrong one. Guys, that's what live does for you here. Well, I'm not finding it on my roster of – oh, here it is. Game one, Vincent Gervais versus Lagodi. I have no doubt in my mind that Lagodi will win the game against Vincent Gervais. Kurt?
Likewise.
Don?
I concur.
Lions.
Joe, you got a friend somewhere?
Lions. Yeah, Alan Williams is the color man. And
my first coaching stop and the alma mater of Andy Eigel, Washington Catholic, versus Bar Eve. And, folks, there isn't a chance that the Cardinals are going to pull one here. Bar Eve, Vikings to win. Kurt?
No Stimels. No Stimels, no Stallmans. I go.
no Madisons.
The Vikings, yes. They're not walking through that door, as Rick Pitino would say.
And Don?
I agree.
Sorry, Vikings. And then after that, we have Davies playing the winner of game one, Scholes playing the winner of game two, but we'll talk about that next week. Let's jump up to Washington. And things get a little different at Washington because of some issues that may have happened at Vincennes, Lincoln, and folks, I don't know the facts on them. I do know that there's possibly a suspension or two there. But what we've got is game one, which should be a really good game. You've got Heritage Hills, a young team that has seemed to found itself, played well, although I do believe they took a loss here recently. But at one point, Coach Sisley had them playing very well. They're going to play the Jasper Wildcats, and Coach Gable has seen his team win against Lagodi, against DuBois last night. Did not play well at Floyd Central, team who had won four games. But the game at DuBois or against DuBois was at DuBois. They don't shoot the ball well, but they stay in. They stay close in the games with their defense. The young Heritage Hills team against Jasper. What are your thoughts, Kurt?
Well, they played earlier. Jasper had a 16-point lead against them because Heritage Hill sometimes struggles with tough physical play, and that's the Jasper calling card. They were up in them. They didn't you know, give up many open shots, but Heritage Hills found a way to scrap back, and Jasper basically collapsed down the stretch at Lincoln City, and Heritage Hills won that game. So, I mean, that's right down the line. Jasper's hard to figure out. That Floyd Central game was, you can't explain something like that. You saw the Lagoda game. I saw him last night against Dubois, and if they take that kind of intensity, that kind of focus out there they did last night, and Dubois played the same way. It was a great game. It ended up 10, but it was really close throughout. Jasper's going to be tough to beat in that game against Heritage Hills. But on the flip side, if Heritage Hills goes into the Hatchet House like they played against Washington and shot like 67% or whatever they did, they're going to give Jasper some trouble. I mean, they've got shooters all around the floor. It's just going to be a matter of what will wins out. Is it going to be the Jasper toughness on defense? Is it going to be Heritage Hills maybe beating them up four in transition? And if Jasper can hit some outside shots, Mark Easler's playing great. He's in the 20-point range, like five out of the last six games that he's played. And Geisler will be tough for Heritage Hills to handle. I know I'm talking, it seems like, in circles, but, I mean, this is going to be right down the line. It's a 50-50 ball game. You've seen both teams, Coach. What do you think?
Well, I think Jasper's going to win this game, and I'll tell you why. And I can be wrong, but I'm going to tell you why. I think that Jasper has improved their shooting, even though it's still inconsistent.
Right.
I think Nick Gobert has improved his shooting. I think Messier gives him some quickness out on the perimeter. And here's what I like about the physical style of defense that they play. And it's the build of the kids. It's not necessarily that, I mean, if these kids were built a little bit differently, the results would be different. They couldn't play this style, but they're thick and they take up space, and it's just not easy to get cuts to the basket and easy shots that you normally get, and that's why the scores are so low. But what Jasper has in Gobert and Messier is they're aggressive, they're physical, and they're quick enough that when you make mistakes with your passes, and this is why I'm saying this, it's a young Heritage Hills team, and I think they're going to struggle in that opening game with the venue, with it being sectional. And I think they're going to make some mistakes with their passes. I think they're going to get sloppy. I think they're going to be weak on some passes. And Jasper's going to let their defense create their offense, and that's what's going to take them home. I hope it doesn't turn into a free throw shooting contest because Jasper could have some problems there. But I do think that Jasper's defense, the mistakes made by a young Heritage Hills team, Coach Sisley, I'm sorry, but I think that's going to give Jasper the victory.
Everything you said is right. I mean, but again, on the other side, Heritage Hills, they got some things that they do very well. It's just, are they going to do them well on that night? Same way with Jasper. And I don't think either one of these coaches know exactly what they're going to get on Tuesday at 6:30. So that's a great reason to go to the game. Show up, watch it, and see what happens.
Well, I'm going to take Jasper.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Kurt? Plead the fifth?
I probably will because I don't know. I'm being
well, you got to pick somebody, Kurt. Come on, get off the bubble here and pick somebody.
I'll take Jasper. Whatever.
Will you pray?
Don, who
are
you going with?
Somebody?
What's that?
Well, my good friend and old running mate, Dean Murder, has a son that plays on Heritage Hills, Devin. And I hear he can shoot the ball pretty well, and so I hate to pick against Heritage Hills because, you know, Dean was always a gamer in the tournament, and I'm sure his son is the same way. But I'm going with Jasper because I think they're playing with a lot of heart, and I think that Mark Geisler's really come on strong, and I think they're going to win the sectional.
Joe.
Yeah, Jasper blew a big lead the first time around. I don't see him doing it this time. I think that they seem like a very focused group right now, especially after the Floyd Central game, and I'm going with the Wildcats.
Game two is Vincennes Lincoln versus Pike Central, and again, I don't know the extent of the team situation for Vincennes Lincoln, but I don't know if I don't know what to say there. Kurt, do you have any more information on any of the situation at Vincennes Lincoln as far as players being suspended or not?
Well, you heard all kinds of things when it first broke about maybe three of them being gone, and now it's down to two, now one. who knows? And of course, Jasper fans are having a field day with this. But there's no other place that lets their guys off more than Jasper. And you know, they said, "Oh, Vincent will let them play." They need to look in the mirror because there's no place where it happens more than Jasper. So just, you know, don't throw stones at other schools. But I don't know what you did. But
well, Jasper just knows how to hide it better.
You know how that goes. But.
I'm going to stay with Vincennes in this game. I think that Pike Central has gotten better this year just by the fact they won a couple more games than they did last year. But I don't think they're to the point where they can win this sectional game. So I'm going to go with Vincennes Lincoln on this. Kurt?
Yeah, I like Vincennes. I think they're very tough. And they got some guys that are, you know, used to playing in that environment. And, you know, sometimes if guys are off the team or they're not playing that night, it kind of brings everybody else together. So. Yeah, I like Vincennes in this one.
Donnie?
Palaces.
And JoJo?
Vincennes.
Game three, Mitchell plays the winner of game one, so they got a bye, but I don't even know if they can win not playing anybody on that night. So I don't know if Mitchell even advances to the winner of game one. But
I'll
we'll
pick
see.
The bye as well.
they let Jasper to half. So.
I know they did.
So I think
let's jump down to sectional 32 at Boonville real quickly. Princeton versus Memorial. I'm going to take Evansville Memorial in that game. Kurt?
Memorial.
Don?
Memorial.
And Joe?
Memorial.
Really? I thought you'd say whoever's playing Memorial is who I'm for. But, okay,
well,
Memorial. Gibson Southern and Boonville in game two. Gibson Southern, they've just been routed as of late. Boonville's not great either, but I'm going to take the home team on their home court, so I'm going to go with Boonville. Kurt?
Boonville.
Pioneers.
Ted O'Brien finds a way, and Gibson Southern pulls it out.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
We'll go with that.
He's not playing.
he's coaching. Hey, you know, I know we've never given Kenny credit, but, you know, when he coached. But coaches do deserve a little credit.
Well, if it was a golf match, I'd take that for sure.
let's go to 4A, the Evansville North Sectional. And I don't know if you guys, any of you had a chance to be in the new Evansville North Gym. Beautiful, large facility. Be great to hold a sectional there. It's your typical large athletic complex. It's not a true arena, but it's still a nice facility. Game one features Evansville, a much improved Evansville Central team. They've got a Deadman kid that's a pretty nice player against Castle. And Castle, of course, Marty Simmons' son plays for Castle, and he'll be going to U of E next year. Castle's got a good club as well. Evansville Central versus Castle. I'm going to take Castle in that game.
Yeah, I'll take Castle, too.
Castle.
And then in game two, we've got Evansville-Harrison, the trio of Duncans, versus Evansville-North. You know, North has a good squad. They've been up and down, inconsistent. They've got better talent than what has shown on the floor. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a coach's situation because I just think they're better than what they played. But Harrison is just a nice club. And you know what's nice about them, even better from a coach's standpoint? They've been consistent all year long. They've never really gone into too many situations where you just didn't get a consistent effort out of that team. And they are young. The Duncans are sophomores and a junior. They've got a nice club. I'll go with Harrison all the way on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Coach. Harrison, we saw them against Jasper in the first game, and now they've, you know, kind of built a team, and it's a different guy each night for them, and they're going to be tough to beat even down the line in there, so I'll go with Harrison.
Don?
I saw the Harrison-Jasper game, and to tell you the truth, I thought Harrison would be a good team, but I never thought they would sport the record that they've got this year. I mean, we're hearing about them up here in the central part of the state, and so I'm going with Harrison. But man, it sounds like the
the Duncan trio is really, really coming along.
Hey guys, also real quick, we're 30 seconds into the live broadcast being over, and invite everybody to listen to the rest of the broadcast on the podcast that will be put on the website after the show. I'm going to go with the Duncan brothers as well.
Okay, let's jump up to sectional six, and I know, Don, you'll have plenty to say on this one. Warren Central sectional. We've got Warren Central versus Lawrence Central in game one.
That's sectional 10, by the way. Just
excuse me, I'm sorry, sectional 10. Warren Central versus Lawrence Central. Don, why don't you start with that and give us your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, just so everybody, I know we've talked about this, but sectional 10 and sectional 8 up here, the Carmel sectional, the sectional 8, those are going to be the toughest two sectionals. Could be in the state in the 4A level. Sectional 10 is at Warren Central. Warren is playing Lawrence Central first game. Warren is led by Devin Davis. Are we having some problems?
I don't know. We got a lot of noise going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. We got some feedback from somewhere.
Go ahead,
Don. Well, let me just continue. Warren Central led by Devin Davis, who's headed to IU next year. Started out the year very tough. Probably won their first six games in a row, then hit a tough skid, and they've kind of been up and down, you know, all year. But Lawrence Central, just I think they've got a good young team, and they've got some freshmen that are actually in the starting lineup. They're getting better as the year went on, but I think Lawrence Central is just going to have too much for them, so I'm going with Lawrence Central in that game.
I will join you on Lawrence Central as well. Kurt? We might have lost Kurt.
Bill? Yeah. Kurt.
Warren Central or Lawrence Central?
Lawrence Central.
Okay. Game two, quickly, we've got Lawrence North versus Indianapolis Cathedral, and we know the Cathedral is playing some very good basketball. Don, a little bit about Lawrence North before we make the pick.
Lawrence North is led by Basil Smotherman. Joe, he's a Purdue recruit. He's playing really good basketball. In fact, Lawrence North last weekend beat an extremely good Pike team. In fact, they were ahead 20 points in the first half and ended up winning by about 16. And Pike has a trio of guards that are really tough and can score. And LN, I think, is peaking at the right time. And my heart's going with Cathedral. I would pick Cathedral. If we had the gun completely loaded, I'm going to stay with Cathedral because I think we're playing really well. But Lawrence North is also I think they're playing equally as well and peaking at the right time. So it's going to be a battle. But I'm with Cathedral.
You know what, Don? I am going to make you very mad. I am going to go with an upset here. I'm going to go with Lawrence North. Just based on the fact that I've been hearing what you just told me, is that they're playing really well at the right time. And not that Cathedral isn't, but I've been a little suspect of Cathedral when tournament time comes, and I'm going to pick Lawrence North.
Well, being down two starters is probably not a stretch for you to do that either. But I don't know if it would be an upset. I think it's going to be – I think the person or the team that wins this game may very well – win the entire sectional, but it'll be difficult.
Joe?
I don't follow basketball much up there, so I'm going to go with the Purdue guy, Basil Smotherman.
LN. Well, Joe, the fact that you're on this show every week and we talk about Indianapolis area basketball, that kind of disappoints me. I don't know, maybe you're in the bathroom. I'm flushing down a Purdue game. I don't know what you might be doing.
I'm not sure. I can't say that kind of secret, so...
Sectional 8, Don, you and I will pick this because Joe doesn't follow basketball up in the Indianapolis area. So let's go ahead and take a look at this Carmel. We've got Zionsville versus Carmel. And for some people that may not know, some of our listeners, Dan Dockage, who played for IU, coached at IU, coached up at it escapes me right now, in the Mid-American Conference. And also as the Dan Dockett Show, his son plays for Zionsville, correct?
That is right. Andrew is starting point guard for Zionsville. He's really their main weapon and leader of the team.
But they are going up what some people still consider the top team in the state, Carmel.
Yeah, Carmel is for real. There's no doubt about it. They won the state championship last year, and everybody thought it would be a semi-rebuilding year, but they locked and loaded quickly. They've only lost a couple, two games this year. I think Carmel, no doubt, will dominate this game against Zionsville. They played recently. Carmel won by 20-plus.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Carmel as well. Game two is Fishers versus Westfield.
Fishers is led by point guard. God, his name escapes me, but he's headed to the Evansville Aces next year. I like Fishers in this game. I just don't think Westfield has enough talent and skill to play them. Fishers is not a great team, but they're a good team. I'm going with Fishers.
And then in game three, this is a seven-team sectional. It's kind of unique in that regard. North Central versus Hamilton Southeastern.
This is a repeat from last year. If you remember, North Central and Hamilton Southeastern opened up last year, and arguably the best two teams in the state played right off the bat. Hamilton Southeastern won on a last-second shot by Gary Harris. And their emotions took them so high that they couldn't quite wrap up the rest of the tournament. But this is kind of a repeat. I am going to – boy, Hamilton Southeastern is tough. They're led by Zach Irvin, who's headed to Michigan. North Central, I talked about earlier, has a trio of guards that have been really playing well. I'm going to go with the Hamilton Southeastern again, and I think they've just got a better team up and down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go with Hamilton Southeastern as well. And one more sectional of note, and all the sectionals are important, folks, and we'll hit on some different ones next Friday when we get into the semifinals. But let's look at Decatur Central, Don. Sectional 11, we find Pike and Ben Davis in that sectional. First game, Perry Meridian versus Pike. I'm just going to jump out and say Pike, and you can kind of clue us in on a little bit on that.
Well, Pike, I think they're playing really well. In fact, I read an article recently. Their coach really thinks that they're peaking at the right time, and I think Perry Meridian is, an average team this year. I think Pike is definitely going to win that game.
Ben Davis at Southport, or versus Southport.
I saw Ben Davis play Cathedral last week, and Ben Davis has a kid by the name of Willis who's going to go to Illinois State. He's a D1 recruit, very talented. They've got a lot of athletes on the team. They seem to not play real well, although I have followed them this year, and they put together some impressive wins. They play Indianapolis Tech tonight at Tech against Trey Lyles. Southport, don't know a lot about them. Don't think they're a real dominant team. I'm going to go with Ben Davis just because they've got some basketball players and some athletes on that team.
And then the third game in Sectional 11 at Decatur Central is Decatur Central versus Brownsburg. And I got to tell you, folks, I don't know much about either team. Brownsburg in the past has had some pretty quality clubs. And just because I know they've had some decent traditions, I'm going to go with Brownsburg.
I'm going to go with Brownsburg as well. I think that they're playing better. They struggled early under new coach Norred from Butler took over that program coming into this year. He's really trying to instill the quote unquote Butler way, if you will. I think that they've struggled a little bit early, but I think they're starting to get better. And I'll go with Brownsburg as well.
You know, Don, a sectional that many years we would have said when you saw the names of these teams would have been a great sectional. It doesn't appear to be that, at least for this year. And that's Sectional 12 at Mooresville. You've got Mooresville, Northview. You've got Plainfield versus Terre Haute North. and then you've got Terre Haute South and Martinsville in that sectional. And, you know, in the years we were around basketball growing up, playing, and then in the early years of coaching, Terre Haute South, Terre Haute North, Martins, those teams were always strong teams. And if you put those teams in a sectional, you would have thought that would have been a powerhouse sectional. But not really the case this year, at least for the Terre Haute teams for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. The last few years, having we get some exposure to Terre Haute teams up here because they play in a conference with Carmel. I think it's called the MIC Conference and other teams, North Central and others up here. And they've just been flat. You know, talent can be cyclical sometimes, and you get a wave where you've got teams and talent in a particular area that seems like it's nonstop, and then all of a sudden you go through a drought. And it just seems like Terre Haute, although there are some good athletes coming out of that area, they just don't quite have the depth to put together a noteworthy team. So, yeah, on paper, Terre Haute South, Terre Haute North, Plainfield, Martinsville, those are four teams that have a great Mooresville, Northview's also there, have a great tradition in history, but just maybe not as talented as years past. Maybe it'll end up being a great sectional just because the teams are more evenly matched.
Yeah, and there are other great sectionals around the state. We couldn't hit on them all today, and we'll try to hit a few next Friday when we see the semifinal rounds and look at the final teams that are left. But there are a lot of great sectionals, and I hope people, fans, fathers and mothers are anticipating taking their sons and daughters out to these games and let them get involved. And there's great memories from many, many people when it comes to the IHSA sectional, or better known as Hoosier Hysteria. And before there was March Madness on the college level, Don and Joe, Hoosier Hysteria was the leader in really the country when it came to basketball, even more so than March Madness.
Well, there's no doubt about it. In fact, March Madness, I think, used the Indiana when it was no classes, just a one champion format. They used that as kind of their template. And I have to reiterate, as you said, I encourage everybody to get out and watch these games. I mean, I think the bargain is for what you can see and enjoy, and the memories you can create with your kids is outstanding. We can get a season sectional pass for sectional 10 at Warren, where you've got Warren Central, Lawrence North, Cathedral, Indianapolis Tech, Indianapolis Roncalli. For $10, you can go to 5 different games. It's $2 a game. I mean, it's just a great bargain, and you're going to see some great talent and great teams and players that are going to be playing at the next level in a big way. So I think it's a great value.
Have you been able to get out to any of the NFL Combine?
No, I haven't. Read about it, have, you know, heard some of the other talk shows talk from there, do their shows from Lucas Oil. Indianapolis, they just keep saying Indianapolis has really put together an incredible host city for this. That's why they keep coming back every year. And one of these days I should get down there, but it's been busy with basketball and haven't had the opportunity to get down there.
Well, next year you will, because the Coach K and Joe show will be set up and you'll be there helping us talk live to our guests. So, Joe, you still with us, buddy?
Yes,
see,
I am.
You never know. You never know about Joe, if he's with us or he's programming something somewhere else. I'm never sure if he's with us or not.
Jasper today has got to come out this weekend, so I'm busy.
He's on deadline.
He's on deadline.
I've got three
seriously, though, as we end up the show for this week, Joe, why don't you just recap for our listeners about Bo Lemastis and the ARCA series and where he'll be, at least close to us, where people can go out and see him?
Well, he's going to be – he finished 16th last weekend, Daytona. He's I'm not sure – I talked to him last night. I can't remember where. It's somewhere in Alabama. He's at a real short course race. He kind of put it in perspective of, you know, you just got done playing Tell City in football, and now you've got to go play Pike Central. I hate to be mean to the Pike Central people, but that's the example he gave. It's a very small thing. But talking to him, he's real excited. He thinks that he can get a win this year, and he kind of laughed because his goal, I asked him what his goals were, and he wants to be Rookie of the Year. And then him and I both started laughing because, you know, 50-year-old Rookie of the Year, you know. But that's one of his goals. And I do know, you know, there will be details coming out soon, and we'll of course, release it here. We're planning on taking a big group over in late April. He races at Salem, and Bo's going to put a big tent up for the Jasper people, and it should be a really good time. And, you know, we wish him well in what he's doing, so...
Yeah, I know you were quick to talk about that, and then as soon as someone else volunteered to help out, you were quick to throw it on them and tell them to take over.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was I'm an organizer. I'm like a planner. I have big ideas.
You're not an organizer. You'd have the idea and then you throw it on to someone else to do.
He's the idea man.
Peggy Shaw Vernon, she made the mistake of saying, "Do you need help organizing?" And then I said, "Fine, yeah, I'll be the person to get the word out, and you organize." So Peggy's going to take care of that for us.
So Don, what else is going on in the sports world up in Indy? Anything else that our listeners might want to know about going on in the greatest, truly becoming one of the greatest sports cities in the country, Indianapolis?
Well, the Colts have recently let Dwight Freeney go, and I know that up here that's been a somewhat of a controversial or sore subject from a business standpoint. They really had no choice given his contract and the money that he would command and that kind of thing. I think Dwight Freeney really wanted to stay with the Colts and retire a Colt. But, you know, one thing that we can never forget in the sports world is that these professional sports are business. And we saw that with Peyton Manning last year, and we see it basically, you know, every month it seems like with some announcement that, you know, they love you, they want you to be a part of it as long as you can throw the baseball or catch the pass or make the block and that kind of thing. And as you're getting past your prime, you always become a you know, somebody to put on waivers or to cut or what have you. So that's been one thing. Other than that, just a lot of IU talk up here. You know, it was a huge win for the Hoosiers against Michigan State. You know, as you mentioned, last time they were able to do that on the road was 1991. Cody Zeller wasn't even born yet. And so that's another big step that the Hoosier program has taken on their way back to top levels. So those are kind of the key things up here as we're coming closer to the end of February.
Well, another great show, guys. You know, we come on and we wonder if we've got enough to talk about, and we always end up with more than we have time to talk about. So we didn't get to do our live remote from Wings and Rings in Jasper because of some sound problems, technical things that we got to work out. But as we've said before, folks, we want to do it right. And if we can't do it right, then we're not going to do it. Now, you might say, well, you're still doing the show, and that ain't right. But that's just part of it because it's part my show. So that's the way that goes. Joe, we're going to bring that crystal clear, silky smooth voice of yours in to take us home for the weekend.
Okay, well, you know, as we always say, go out and there's because some basketball games yet to be played, and go out and support your local high school. And until then, we'll be back next Friday. Look for the guests on Facebook and et cetera. We'll be announcing who will be on next week. And in the meantime, for Coach K, for Don Schulteis, this is Joe Milligan, and we will see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.